Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday.
Jaguars Thursday.
JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, and Tony Baselli bring you the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank.
Touchdown, Jacksonville!
Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, begins right now.
We're off and running on Jaguars Thursday. JP Shadrick, Tony Baselli, Jeff Loggeman. Plenty to get to tonight. Rookie minicamp weekend.
Yes. Exciting stuff.
That gets you excited, right?
Reports of a veteran receiver that could be making the rounds.
Riley
at some
Cooper?
Point. No.
No. He's somewhere in camp.
No, but the word was he was in Tampa for the, yeah. But I think they didn't keep him.
Okay.
That's what I was heard.
That's not who I was talking about. We'll get to it. And then we'll finally get Tony Baselli's thoughts on the NFL draft.
Yeah, I apologize.
Since you weren't here and you sound still like a frog a little bit.
Yeah, my
you look like one too.
My voice, I mean, I was going to be on last week. I was out of town, but I was still going to be on. And within
where were you?
It's none of your business. Within
somewhere must have been
warm
nice
and
sunny,
warm.
And there were umbrellas involved. Nice. In
yes,
glass.
There was all those. In a 45-minute period, I went from feeling fine and having a voice to not being able to talk and feeling like, you know what?
That's not good.
45 minutes. I called Joe.
Must have been on a cruise ship.
No, it was no
cruise. Those things kind of happen on a cruise ship.
No, it was just, we were out just on a,
just on an
island.
An island?
And
An island. Amelia Island?
No, Amelia Island. No, it was okay. Further away than that.
And dude, I didn't recognize you.
I called Joe, and Joe's like, what's wrong?
Yeah, we don't need to talk to you.
Don't call back. So, but the voice is still not all the way there, but it's going back. I did learn a lot on this vacation, though.
What might that be?
A lot of social media stuff. My kids taught my kids taught me before I left, and then my siblings taught me Snapchat. I'm a big Snapchat guy now.
Oh, you're snapping now.
The one thing I'm going to do is this, and I was going to do it before, and I forgot. I'll do it during the show. Is this Instagram Live?
Yeah, it's like a live video.
Yeah, so like I guess if I hit it right here, is that how I do it, JP?
I don't know. I'm not an Instagram guy. Live.
I don't know how it works.
We'll figure
it
out.
I'll figure it out.
Oh
yeah, yeah! You got to figure it out.
That
right?
Was not good. But we're gonna do Instagram Live too for all my people.
Can't wait! All your followers on Instagram.
There's not very many.
Yeah, Logs loves it, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm a big
so
Snapchat
though.
And Instagram guy.
It's amazing all the stuff out there. It's crazy. But anyways,
too much.
Yeah, we'll talk about the draft. I thought it was interesting. I'll be honest with you. I wasn't crazy about it.
Well, that's really general.
No, I thought it was okay, but there's some things I disagreed with. I guess I'd say that. But after talking to Logs and people and kind of looking at it after a week, get a little bit of a different perspective and some interesting picks that I think have a chance to be impactful probably earlier. And I'm talking about guys down the road a little bit.
Well, one of them is that when me and Tony had talked about this is that Tony and I both like Forrest Lamp.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Over Cam Robinson, which, you know, but I explained last week, and Tony, we'll get your thoughts on this, but my thought was, look, I get the part that, you know, you want to tackle because, you know, you don't know what's going on with your, you know, the guy that you got in the trade.
That's a problem, though.
But to me, you take what you think is the best player. And maybe they thought that Cam Robinson was the best player. So, and then the other one that Tony and I talked about was Feeney, the guard from Indiana, was available in round 3. And so the first reaction Tony's was, who's DeJuan Smoot? And I was like, my first reaction was, I'm not sure, I got to watch the film on him because I didn't watch him. Yeah. And then after going and watching film of Smoot, I told Tony this today. I said, when you watch him, you're going to be, oh, yeah, that was the smart decision in that case.
Yeah, I haven't watched him. I've been talking to Jeff and other people about him, though. And doing some research, and he was really productive. Smoot, I'm talking about, his junior year production fell off, but he was considered, you know, if he'd have come out his junior year, pretty, you know, possibly a late first, early second round pick type of guy. The whole Cam Robinson thing, I'll be honest, I was in Philly. I mean, I called the pick. Yeah. I thought for sure after – I can't remember who made the first two picks, but then once we traded up – I mean, the first pick was made, then we traded up to the second pick in the second round. That was going to be Forrest Lamp. Because I had him rated as, like
– best offensive lineman.
The best offensive lineman. The fact that the Broncos took the kid from Utah in the first round, I was like, what are they doing?
That really surprised me.
Me too.
Really surprised me.
And the fact that Lamp was there, that's who I thought it was. So then they picked Cam Robinson, who I thought was the best tackle. It was either him or Ramczyk, the kid from Wisconsin.
I like Ramczyk.
They're both
pretty close.
And I'll say this about Cam Robinson, though. Out of every lineman in the draft, and I felt this going in when I watched the tape, he has the highest ceiling. He has the most potential out of any of the guys in the draft.
Yeah, he's got the size, the frame, the length.
The feet, everything. He has a nastiness about him. He finishes blocks. Mm-hmm.
Very good run blocker.
I think he has some maturity issues that have been documented pretty well. He's a young kid. He played as a true freshman. So he's a younger guy. I don't think he's all that strong yet. I think there's some physical maturity he needs to have happen. If he learns to work and maximize his God-given talents and frame and structure, he will be the best of this group. I just thought Forrest Lamp gave you the most immediate upside day one. I think he's the most ready to play at a position of need. And what I said earlier about what bothers me about if you picked Cam Robinson because of the left tackle issue with Brandon Albert, that bothers me because something should have been handled before the draft ever got there. I would think that you knew. I would think going in that you know that if this is going to be an issue, let's not.
And we don't know if that was the reason.
And we don't
why, but if,
it could be, could not be.
But it sounded like from the post pick comments that it had something to do with it. But you say that maybe try to.
Well, they made the comments about it, but I believe that they liked Cam Robinson.
I think he was
better than
I think he was the highest on their board.
Okay,
which is I can see that he has the most potential, most talent, without a doubt.
And tackle's more of a premium spot, tackle. Which Forrest Lamp was viewed as strictly a guard and or possibly center in the league, but and maybe could play some tackle
in a pinch. Yeah, sure.
But I also think this team still needs to figure out how to get Brandon Albert in here. I wouldn't give him a bunch of money or anything, but get him here. You know, play the game and get him here. And I would move Cam Robinson to guard.
I think he can play guard?
Yes. Yes.
Does it matter which side? I mean,
Here's
the question I have for you, and I've been wanting to ask you this. As a left tackle or as a right tackle, is it more natural to maybe play left guard? And if you're a right tackle, is it more natural because of the stance, if you're a right tackle, to play right guard?
I don't know because I started my college career where we flipped and I had to play right and left offensive tackles. It never bothered me.
Because, I mean, if you're on the left side of the line,
you're in a left-hand stance.
You're in a left-hand stance. Right. If you're on the right side, you're right-handed stance.
Playing guard would have bothered me more just because of not being a tackle. I mean, just getting used to the closer contact, you know, guys on both sides of you, and that stuff would have been, I don't know if right or left would have mattered for me. But that you make a good point. I would move him at left guard. And I keep Brandon Albert on the left tackle and keep AJ over there.
And see, the reason I ask that is because a left guard in most offenses typically, and we're talking hypothetical, we don't even know if he's going to play guard, but a left guard in most offenses is typically the one that's more athletic, that does more pulling, and your right guard is more of a road grader type, more powerful type, you know, and you would think that Cam Robinson, because he's that big, strong type, you know, would probably be more apt to fit at
he moves pretty well, though, Jeff. He can run. I mean, he can pull. And people say, well, you're going to draft a tackle, move him to guard. Well, they did it with the Hall of Famer named Jonathan Ogden. I mean, everyone forgets that they picked him third overall in his first year he played left guard.
Yeah.
Tony Jones was the left tackle.
Tony Jones was really good, too.
No, he was very good. Yeah,
apparently so. If good Ogden's player. Moved inside.
Yeah,
sure.
Now they drafted him because they knew Tony Jones was going to be a free agent the following year, and they're going to let him go. And let him test the market. They move kick Ogden out to left tackle, but he's played left guard for a year.
6'9", 325 left guard.
Tony Jones,
a lot of guard.
Tony Jones and Jonathan Ogden walked to the left side of that offensive line. You look and go, my goodness.
Yeah.
We got our hands full.
Because Tony Jones was every bit of 6'6". Yeah. You know, so you got 6'6", 6'8".
Big man. So in a perfect world, that's what I would hope happens. And I said it when I watched the tape. I thought because of the run blocking ability that Cam Robinson has, and he has the nastiest edge to him. I think he can be effective a guard. I think he could road grade people. I think he'd be physical. He'd make the run game better. Him and Brandon Albert on the left side make you better in the run game for sure. Last year, first round draft pick, offense tackle Laramie Tunsil. Kicked in and played guard next to Brandon Albert the whole year.
Yeah.
So it's not unheard of. It's not that big a deal. I mean, especially if you do it early.
How about that for Brandon Albert? Last year in Miami, you got a first round pick, you know, heir apparent. Now in Jacksonville, second round pick, heir apparent.
Yeah.
Yeah, but hey, business is business.
Yeah.
It's the way it is.
Well, right now.
By the way, I want to hear the clip that you got with Saban talking about. Can we listen to that now?
Yeah. Which one would you like to listen to?
We've got the one on Cam Robinson.
The field, we've got him talking about Cam playing to the level of competition.
I want to hear the on-the-field stuff first.
Okay, let's start off. Nick Saban earlier this week caught up with him for the J.P. Shadrick podcast here on
JPShadrick.com.
Oh, you're like Rich Eisen.
What happened? I leave for a week and we got a J.P. Shadrick podcast?
You can't talk on it.
Where can I find that at?
Gosh.
Jaguars.com or the iTunes.
Okay.
All three downloads.
Yeah.
Asked about one of the best games he played at Alabama, and that was the one against A&M and Myles Garrett last year. But there were a lot of other games where he might not have played as well. Here's the reason why.
This is the one thing that I think maybe actually hurt Cam, and I tried to, you know, sort of convince him of this through his career, is that sometimes he played to the level of the competition. Mm. And when the competition was really good, that's when he played his best, and he probably played his best against Texas A&M when he was playing against Myles Garrett. Some other times people question the consistency, but it was usually when he was playing against maybe a player that wasn't as good. But look, that's not a good indicator. You know, if you want to be the best player you can be, you should never allow the guy on the other side of the ball to determine the standard that you play to. And I think that's one of the things that will challenge Cam more in the NFL, because he'll always be playing against a good player. So his level of play is going to have to raise up to that standard on a consistent basis.
And Gary Danielson, I think a couple weeks ago, said it best that he seemed bored sometimes with the competition across from
him. Now, my question to you, JP, is Did you manage to not drool all over the microphone while you were talking with Nick Saban?
Yeah, it's fine.
For your podcast.
Available on Jaguars.com.
All right, so I want to hear the other clip.
We got other stuff as well?
Yeah, I want to hear the other Nick Saban part on Cam Robinson.
So this is the off-the-field stuff. There was the incident in North Louisiana. The charges were dropped.
Tell me what the charges were first.
A gun charge and a marijuana charge. They were both dropped together by the district attorney.
Okay.
There was another Alabama player in the car.
Was there any Alabama alum in the DA's office down there?
That I don't know.
Was it Reuben Foster in the car with him?
No, it was Hootie Jones or something.
Or did Reuben Foster have his own issues?
I think that was a different issue.
different gun and marijuana issue?
They know how to have fun in Tuscaloosa there, Tony. So the question was, he got back in good graces somehow in Tuscaloosa. How did he do it, and how did that propel him to a great season and winning the Outland Trophy?
This draft and some of the experiences that players had in this draft are certainly lessons for every player out there that might be listening to this, whether you're in high school or college, that, you know, there can be consequences for good behavior and there can be consequences for bad behavior. And, you know, you don't want anybody to ever have a reason to put butt behind, you know, what they say about you. So making good choices and decisions is very important. I personally knew the details of what happened in Cam's situation. I think it was a little overbaked. He was always a good guy. He was a good person. He was a good leader. On the leadership council on the team, one of the guys that I was always turned to in a tough spot, to know that he would always, you know, step up and help other people to step up. So I had no issues at all with this guy's character.
So there you have it, Nick Saban earlier this week about off the field.
Was he talking about overbaked in reference to the marijuana part of that?
I don't think so. Oh. I don't think
That's
so.
That's what I was thinking, too.
So there you have it from the Alabama head coach. Hey, let's come back.
Let's do that.
We'll discuss rookie minicamp coming up. One of the draft picks has signed today. Got that done.
They're all going to sign nowadays. That's the one great thing about this new rookie CBA. There's no holdout anymore. Well, unless you're Joey Bosa trying to get offset language.
The question is are any of the Jaguar rookies not going to participate without a contract like that? Do we know?
I think probably they will. I mean, if you look at history and precedent, Dante Fowler hurt his knee without a contract with the Jaguars because it's pretty much an unwritten rule. And actually, the Jaguars will sign something, and there's insurance out there. It basically says, we're going to pay you what you're slotted. And they paid Dante what he was slotted to make, and everything was fine.
Hey, we're 16.
Now, but there's a risk.
Yeah, but there's another risk to that. The one who was making those decisions prior to this year was
Continue this conversation in a moment. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio. Yes, I am.
Play left tackle or right tackle, actually, in my opinion, but I think he could be a fantastic left tackle. He's very athletic. He's got great length and size. He's got feet, good pass protector. He can be physical when he needs to be in terms of getting movement on the run. I just think he's as good a pro prospect as anybody we've had. And we have had a bunch of guys drafted in the first round, offensive linemen as well as other players. So I think he's got a really, really bright future.
Nick Saban earlier this week, Jaguars Thursday continues. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Baselli.
He was talking about Cam Robinson.
Cam Robinson there. Also said that he didn't really like the idea of moving him into guard because of his athleticism outside. But we've already discussed that idea here and the reasons why it could work here in Jacksonville. So
did you get on the topic with Nick Saban about just the number of draft picks that they've been able to produce?
No, didn't quite get there. They're everywhere.
Unbelievable.
Yep.
I mean it. And they got guys that are going to be taking the spots of the guys that were just drafted. They're going to be getting drafted too.
Hey, guess what, guys? 1 week from tonight, we'll be on the road. Jaguars Thursday.
Calzone time.
I'm going to eat.
Mellow Mushroom in Avondale. Frangie Show at 3 o'clock. We're on at 6 o'clock with Jaguars Thursday. Come join us in person in Avondale at Mellow Mushroom. We might be there early.
I know that place well.
We might be there late.
I will be... We're going to have to figure out how we do the show. We need longer breaks so we can eat in between.
You're not staying after, Tony? The after party.
Oh, is there an after party?
There's going to be one. We're going to create one. Right?
Which one?
Sure.
What Mellow Mushroom are we at? So I can
Avondale? Are you not listening to me talk?
No, I try three times. I try to ignore you.
Something wrong with you.
Yeah, there's definitely something wrong with me. There's no. But, jeez. Ever since I heard you have a podcast, I've kind of been in a really bad place.
Had one for a long time.
You have?
Thanks for listening. Appreciate it, guys. It's real nice. And we're also
how long?
How many listens do you get?
I have no idea.
You can track that.
I don't know.
You don't want to know, though. You're not asking.
I have no idea.
Well, you know you can ask them how many downloads you have.
I don't know. I really don't want to know.
Yeah.
I'm going to double your total.
You probably.
I'm going to download it tonight.
Me and Mom. That's two. There's three.
No, your dad.
Yeah, there's four. Hey, we're also 16 days away from the opening of Daly's Place, brought to you by the Florida Restaurant and Lodging Association, and Visit Florida. Play local, eat local, stay local, stay and play 16 days.
They got a lot of work to do yet.
Yeah. Well, they claim they're going to get it done.
No, I'm sure they will, but I mean, it's, you know,
Saturday
ways to go.
May 27th. It's coming up fast.
I hope they get it going.
Rookie minicamp this weekend. I do, too. Closed to the public, closed to the media. There will be a little availability Saturday afternoon. I think Doug Marrone, Leonard Fournette, Cam Robinson, I think, are on the docket to speak with media. Different feel. It's all closed as opposed to a few years ago when it was wide open and 7,000 people watched the rookie quarterback out here. But that's just the world we live in.
Well, I mean, it's Tom Coughlin, Doug Marrone rules now. So things change, which is fine. But, you know, day one tomorrow, what's the expected forecast? Like 95?
Hot.
First day of rookie minicamp. I mean, these guys
hot all weekend
coming in from all over the country. And the first experience in Jacksonville on the practice field, I think they're practicing like 4:30. which
I,
is
I think they're going 2 days.
Yeah, but it's like a glorified walkthrough, I think, the first one. So 4:30, right in the dead heat of the day, when it's probably like 97, 98. Hey, here we go, guys. Let's get a practice in after they've been – you know, celebrating their draft status.
And you know they're all in great shape.
You know, their contracts, you know, that they got as free agents. They've been training to do workouts and pro days, and they haven't really done any kind of functional football stuff.
It's actually a dangerous time.
It is. You've got to be careful if you're you know, an organization as far as what you're going to ask these players to do. You know, for example, Dante Fowler. You know, first day, boom, tore his ACL.
And that's the extreme.
He was fatigued.
That was the extreme, but you do see groins and hamstrings and soft tissue stuff in these things just because guys are so out of shape and there's anxiety and there's nerves and they're trying to impress the coaches and you got guys flying around. And I always think that doing anything team-wise is silly, and I think it's dangerous because you have a bunch of guys that you've brought in just for this weekend that are trying to make an impression and going 8 million miles an hour not knowing what they're doing. And not being overly critical, but I think I'm safe to say, and this is probably a little bit of a stereotype, but if you're being brought in just for the weekend, you're probably not at the highest end of athletic ability as far as a football player.
Might not be.
And you're out of shape or average shape, and I just – guys get out of control, get on the ground. And I always hated as a veteran those first couple practices with the rookies. Because when you're a veteran, you understand, like, listen, you stay on your feet.
You know the tempo.
And you can go hard. I mean, you go hard. I mean, you're competing, trying to get better. But you also know we're going to take care of each other when, if someone is in a vulnerable position.
You don't overdo it.
No. Yeah. And you stay on your feet. Guys, I mean, the coaches yell when you're on the ground, but we would start yelling. It's like, get up. Because it's not because we don't want to work, it's you don't want to get hurt.
There's been a few fights over that.
Yeah, I mean, and these young guys, just it's like, come on.
Kind of like hockey rules, you know, when you've got the first mini camps with rookies and
just too much.
And you got, practice players and they don't understand the tempo and you try to explain it to them the first time. And then the second time, you try to explain them in a little bit more of a, more of an understanding way.
Certainly.
And then the third time, it's time to go to Knuckle
Physical,
Junction.
Yeah.
Knuckle Junction. I haven't heard that one before. That doesn't seem like a friendly place.
But that's a concern. It's always a concern, I think. And you get a lot of guys out there, and rightfully so. Some of these guys are trying to just make it to the next day. They are on a weekend contract.
And what are they trying to do?
Impress the coaches.
Make an impression.
Yes.
So they're 100 miles an hour, and some are not 100 miles an hour.
Well, and some can't go 100 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And when they go 100 miles an hour, they're out of control.
Sometimes. But it'll be fun to watch it, if we could watch it.
Yeah.
But it's closed to the media.
We're not media.
We're media.
No, we're not. I am not media.
You're on the wall, Tony.
Don't forget it.
You can go wherever the hell you want to go. This is your building. We're just working in it.
Yeah, I think Tom would argue with that.
What is that? What is that noise we have in the background?
Joe, what are you doing over there?
He's not paying attention
over there. So the Jaguars will have 64 players this weekend.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Camp. Seven draft picks.
Some first year players can come too, right?
11 offensive linemen.
16 undrafted rookies. Cow. Two first year players that are on the Jags roster, Kazatadi and Robinson for the Jags, and 39 workout participants.
39?
They got 39 guys off the street to come in here and play this week.
Oh, my gosh. Now, you said one of them is a receiver? You said there's some veteran receiver floating around?
It's a different story. What are you just crossing stories?
It worked, JP. He's dying to know.
I'm curious. You teased it. I want to know.
That was a great tease.
You got to pay the tease off.
Well, let's pay it off when we get back from this commercial timeout.
Well, are we there yet?
We're there. We are there because the music started.
So if I keep on talking like last time and really put Joe in a bind because it's only 60 seconds and the longer I talk, the shorter the time JP has.
Hey, where'd Tony go?
My phone got cut off. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.
You got to have that fire. You know, there's just a passion. You got to be driven.
You know, coaches shouldn't have to tell you to do this or do that. They shouldn't have to reinforce it. Now, later in my career, I learned that what that was, you know, that was the difference between routine and commitment, because we all need a routine in our everyday lives. And because we're walking in the stadium, that's the routine piece of it, doing what you do to get your mind right. The commitment is those days when you're tired, you're sluggish, you don't feel like it. Something has to kick you and say, man, I got to go. I got people depending on me. And that's the tough mindset. That's how I always was.
Fred Taylor earlier this week. Always good to visit with Pride of the Jaguars running back and pre- and post-game analyst for Jaguars Radio.
Freddie's a good man.
No doubt about that. We'll see him at the Jaguars Foundation Golf Tournament coming up in June. We're trying to figure out this Instagram Live from Tony Baselli. And the one thing I figured out is that all 111 followers just got an awesome video from you.
Well, we're going to do it again at next break. So I tweeted it out. Oh. I have a lot more Twitter followers. I just started the whole Instagram thing. I'm brand new.
T. Baselli, if you want to follow this
oaf on Instagram. I tried to get my same Twitter address, Tony Baselli, but someone else has it.
An imposter.
Yeah, how do they do that? Why can someone else have my Twitter handle?
You believe it or not, you may or may not be the only Tony Baselli in America.
I pretty much am.
Well, what's your given name?
Don Anthony.
Why don't you just go to that?
Just go Don Anthony.
Because no one knows that.
Well, maybe they will.
Nobody knows this one either,
apparently.
They're
not going to find me. No one knows this one either, apparently. That's not very nice, JP.
Reports coming out today that Victor Cruz is visiting the Jaguars. It was originally today, and then the reports changed. A workout May 23rd or 4th. What do you make of that?
Tom
knows him.
He may work out May 23rd or 24th.
That's what the reports say.
I don't think there's anything to it. I mean, here's the reason why.
What is it? 30 is not that old for a receiver, by the way.
He's banged up a couple of years.
That's
ago, right?
More like it.
But he doesn't have a lot of miles on him because he's been kind of inactive. But, I mean, the whole thing of, okay, he may work out the 23rd or the 24th, I don't see that as being
Who's reporting that?
Accurate report.
It's been – I'll have to look
it's
it up.
It's been everywhere? Is this coming from the J.P. Shadrick podcast?
Yeah.
Oh.
No.
Ooh.
But it's agent-driven, right?
I mean, it has all one follower?
Yeah,
well, I mean, it could be agent driven. It could be, you know, the team putting out that, hey, we're interested in
it's
him.
It's not the team,
but you know, I don't know. I mean,
what it is? This is what happens.
Is it possible? Sure, it is that the team said something like that.
But this is how it works. I'll tell you how it works. Tell me who reported it, and I'll tell you exactly what happened.
Stand by.
Okay, whoever reported
figure that out
was talking. Or the agent of Victor Cruz, because he's not getting a lot of looks
Tom Pelissero of USA Today.
Called Tom Pelissero, because they have a relationship, said, hey, Tommy boy, I need you to kind of get something out there. My guy, Victor Cruz, has some interest from the Jaguars.
And it makes
and
it
Tommy
kind of
goes,
work
well, how much interest?
Tom
well,
Coughlin.
They're talking about working him out, and then he just threw some dates out there as a possibility, and then Tom runs with it, and he does his buddy a favor. That's how it works.
Well, and, you know, look, Tom Coughlin.
Tom knows Victor
likes
Cruz.
Likes Victor Cruz, I'm sure. And
well, I don't know if he likes him. He knows him.
Well, look, he was a productive player for Tom.
He played well up there.
When he was healthy.
No, I'm not saying, but maybe, do we know that they get along? Are they buddies? I mean, I don't know.
Never heard of anything otherwise.
Okay.
So I would think that they.
He likes him.
Yeah.
So if he likes him.
So could Tom be doing a, you know, helping a guy out, you know,
no,
that he likes maybe?
No way.
I don't know.
Tom will help Victor Cruz out if Tom thinks Victor Cruz can help the team win.
The Jaguars games. Out. Right.
He's not a fit here.
Why not?
You got three very good football players.
Let me ask you, let's just do this easy. This is an easy way to determine if he's a fit here.
Okay.
Is he better than Allen Robinson?
No.
Is he better than Marquise Lee?
No.
Is he better than Allen Hurns?
If he's healthy, he'd compete there.
Okay. So, you bring him in.
And here's the other thing, the other reason why
I say. Bring him in right there.
I don't know. I mean, you've got, in fact, we talked about this during a commercial break. You know, Dede Westbrook, okay?
He can fly, does something no one else does.
And then you also got an undrafted guy from Syracuse that had a tremendous year in Ambo Edetoa, Tawa, Toa.
The pronunciation.
Ambo what?
Tell me, JP.
Ambo Edetawu, right?
Edetau?
Edetau?
I don't know.
I don't know. I haven't met the guy yet.
I don't know. We're going to find out. Yeah. But I think he's a fantastic player. Had a big year at Syracuse. So, you know, I mean, it's pretty loaded right now.
His first name's Amba. We know that.
Thanks.
Edetau.
And could be even better. As long as you can get the quarterback Edetau to play at a higher level, then you'll utilize all their skills.
Well, yeah, and purposely, this is what we should be doing, is talking about the draft and the rookie minicamp and Victor Cruz sightings and possibilities and all that. But it still comes down to one thing, in my opinion, and that's the production of number five.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying superstar production. I'm talking about not having as Coach Coughlin likes
wasn't
to say,
Coach
a callous
Coughlin
disregard for the football.
Hey, wasn't Tom Coughlin on the J.P. Shadrick podcast talking about Blake Bortles?
No,
he was on another one I heard about.
Oh,
that he was on Rudder. Something about
he was on 1010 earlier this week at the golf tournament.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought maybe he was on your podcast.
No, sir.
But I'm telling you that all these things, everything from Tom Coughlin coming back and overseeing things, which has value, everything to the new head coach Doug Marrone. We'll see how that works. Everything from the free agency we got. I like what we did in free agency. Everything from the draft. I think we got players that can help us immediately. It comes down to one thing. Not, you know, so if you had a piece of pie and all these slices.
Oh, here we go.
The
Tony
number five,
Buscelli
the Blake
analogy.
The Blake Bortles piece of the pie of responsibility.
How big of a pie are we talking? What kind of a pie are we talking about here?
Well,
chocolate?
Well,
what size?
Pecan.
It's a big, well, it depends what time of year it is. If it's anything in the fall, it better be a pecan pie.
Okay.
This
I thought
maybe
we were talking about pizza pie. We're talking about pie pie.
Well, next week we'll be talking about pizza pie at Mama Mushroom.
Okay.
So whatever pie you want, I like all of them. If you had all these slices, the Blake Bortles slice would take up about 3/4 of that pie.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot.
As far as the importance.
Mm. That's a big slice.
The
that
big
wouldn't
slice.
Even be considered a slice.
That's like 6 slices.
That would be considered
of
a Pac-Man
slice pie.
It's a Pac-Man. He's the Pac-Man of the pie.
Okay.
Of the importance of, as far as the direct correlation of wins and losses for this team, is the development of Blake Bortles. It is what it is.
Mm.
Wow. Yeah.
That's it.
That's what
it is.
All about.
There's no doubt. I mean, look at last. Okay.
Well, what does he have to do then? Just manage it better?
He can't have a callous disregard of the football.
Manage it.
Manage the situation and make. You don't have to. We don't need 4,000 yards. We don't need 40 touchdowns. You need him to make. Throw. You need to make plays in the fourth quarter when the game's on the line, and you need to manage the offense from a standpoint of making good decisions in game situations, depending on where the ball is, when to press, when not to, be efficient on third down. I mean, I'm not talking about checking at the line of scrimmage and being Tom Brady or Phillip Rivers or these guys to do that. Just being smart with the football. You look at the Dallas Cowboys last year. Everyone wants to talk about Ezekiel Elliott and what he did. He was great in that offensive line. Great. But the reason they went as far as they could, and it happened in the playoffs because I did the game, the reason they had a chance against the Green Bay Packers is because when they needed their quarterback to make a play, Dak Prescott could make the play.
Mm-hmm.
And when they didn't need him to make the play, he wasn't turning the ball over. And he was giving them a chance to win in the end. Now, they had a great offensive line. We don't have that offensive line here. They had a great back. We might have that back here. We don't know yet. We drafted that back. We want that guy to be that back.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have the offensive line. We don't have the receivers they do. But my whole point is saying you just got to be smart with the football. And I think Tom said it, and I think, you know, it was on the 1010. He talked about, you know, being the rudder of the ship and all this stuff. Which I get what his point was, like, listen, just drive this thing and keep it between the lines. And we're going to help you with a better run game. He mentioned all three backs, Yeldon, Ivory, and Fournette.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to block him up better in the front. It was interesting listening to his whole thing, at least the clip I heard. Never mentioned one of the wide receivers.
Hmm.
It was about control the line of scrimmage, run the ball, keep the defense off the field, and ask Blake to be kind of the rudder to keep the ship on course. That's what he needs to do. But
I mean, after last year, that's what you need him to do.
It's all you.
Yeah. You got to see improvement in that.
Isn't that all we want right now, Jeff? You want more.
Yeah, the question that I wonder is that, you know.
But that's, I mean, I'll take that. How about
What can you do?
That piece of pie.
If you're Blake Bortles, what can you do right now to improve in those areas? Mm-hmm. I mean, because, you know, I mean.
Well, doesn't mechanically. Yeah.
No, I mean, but I'm kind of going back to what Tony's kind of talked about for the last number of years and, you know, the collective bargaining agreement and the things that you can and cannot do with players on the field. You know, I mean.
Kills them.
You can meet with the player, right? Right now. So at least you're getting some of that discussion. You know, you're not getting the on-the-field type stuff. But, you know.
Weren't they out there with
face? Yeah, they are.
It would be nice.
No helmets or something like that.
It will be nice that, you know, when going forward and with the NFL and the NFLPA, that they open up some things for the players to be able to work at their skill and their trade. In some type of controlled fashion, more so than what they can do right now. And I'm not saying that you need more on the field days or anything like that, but look, if Blake Bortles wants to go out on the field and work with his new quarterback's coach and just work on some mechanic things in March, why can't they do that? I'm not saying go out there and meet up with 10 guys and do a 7-on-7 drill.
It's your union types. You're the union guy.
No, right. I blame you.
That's right.
I thought that was kind of – I mean, that was the consolation prize because they didn't get as much money.
No, yeah,
not a very good consolation prize.
The owner said, we'll take the money. You can have whatever practices.
Yeah, you can keep those practices. We won't put you out on the field
for the money.
You know, but I do agree that, you know, you got to be able to do certain things. Yeah.
Where do you draw the line, though? Because some people will hit that line and keep on going.
It's got to be well defined, and it's got to be. I mean, very tight. You know, because if it's not tight, you're going to have, you know, the rules breakers or the people that want to break the rules. I mean, Tom Coughlin was a perfect example back in 1995. You know, they had a rule.
Well, here we go.
To where
union guy.
No,
he's right.
This is legitimate.
I was a rookie. I was showing up.
It was,
I didn't
it was 1995, and you know you were allowed X number of mini camps and on the field days, etc. But then they didn't have any kind of rules or when the mandatory report date was, or saying that you could not ask players to go prior to the mandatory report date.
But there was a date that you didn't have to show up till.
Right.
They could invite you. Yeah.
And so the next year they had to change the rule because, you know, Coughlin wanted players to go to Stephen Points, I think.
A week early.
Well, it was actually like 4 days.
It felt like a month.
Yeah, I know. It was 4 days early at Stephen's Point than what the mandatory date was. And then the next year they clarified that issue in the collective bargaining language. But, I mean, that's why it has to be spelled out. Because if it's not perfectly spelled out, then you will have, you know, organizations that will – and I'm not trying to say that they're trying to skirt the rules because they want to cheat. It's that, you know, there are certain coaches that look – I mean, that's how they're wired. They want to work. And if they've got players to work with and can find a way to, you know, hey, the other guys aren't being able to do this. We're going to do this. They're going to try that.
It's easy. It is so easy. And Jeff's right, but I don't think it's as complicated. Here's all you have to do. Tell me, make a definitive start date of training camp. Make it a definitive number of mini camps and how long they can be. Make a definitive amount of OTAs, okay? After that, you're a professional football player, and you can come and be at the facility and work with your coach one-on-one or your position group as much as you want. Now, the danger of that is, well, coaches will put pressure on guys and force them. Guess what? Then go do another line of work. You're getting paid hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars and millions of dollars. Go work. You want to get better? And guess what? If you're a good enough player, you can tell your coach,
No,
I'm not showing up. And he can't do anything. And so that would help the guys who need the development. And it would protect teams from saying, we're going to start training camp in June. And you're going to be here the whole time. So start to definitive days. And even if you want to add one more thing, say from the second week of June until the start of the mandatory day, has to be off or something like that. Mm-hmm. But the rest of the time, if a guy wants to work out with his coach or if a coach wants to tell the young guys, if Pat Flaherty says, hey, all you young guys, I want you on the field 3 days a week with me for an hour. Great. If you don't want to do it, don't do it. But if you want to be a pro and get better and have a chance to play football for a living and make really good money, then get your butt out there and do it. And if you're a veteran who's established and a Pro Bowl type player, you can look at Pat and say, Pat, I'll come once a week to be a good example, but I'm not coming every day. I'm going to be on the golf course.
Baselli wouldn't have gone.
No, I would have actually.
No chance.
He would have his rookie year. But
no,
then,
I
would have
gone every year.
His third year, he wouldn't have been
not
there.
True.
No,
come on.
I never.
99. Here, you would not.
No, I'll give you a perfect example of how brainwashed I was.
No chance.
Here's a perfect example.
No.
We had, there was
so you're saying you were brainwashed, which means it wasn't of your own will. So somebody else's fault that they coerced you into doing something you didn't want to do.
Possibly. Or not brainwashed. That's true, Jeff. Wrong. How committed I was. That's better.
Okay.
Let me tell you how committed I was.
Wait a minute. How do you go from brainwashed to being committed?
Nah, it doesn't work that way. I think you might still be brainwashed.
Or I might even need to be committed.
Your argument right now has no merit.
No, it's not an argument.
Just stop.
You would not have been out there.
You can't get yourself out of that hole now.
Okay, I'll give you an example. I played in this charity golf tournament, and flights and everything all set up to be back that night because we had OTAs the next day. Not even OTAs, just lifting and on-the-field stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know what we called back then. It was all voluntary. You didn't have to be there. And I had a flight delay. We got to Atlanta. It was late, and so I was not going to get back. It was Mark and I were together. We weren't going to get back in time for the morning meeting or on the field stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what we did? Drove from Atlanta all night, came and worked out and went on the field stuff and went home and slept.
That is either dedication or brainwashing.
See that right there was fear factor.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not saying it's not fear factor, but I was committed.
You're scared, bro.
Committed to the cause.
Committed to avoiding the wrath of Tom Coughlin.
Absolutely. But I'm okay with that. Here's where I guess I differ from people. It's my job. I'm getting paid to do it.
What would have happened if
go
you
do
it,
something
though?
Else? Nothing would have happened. I would have dealt with Tom. He would have busted my chops. And I just, to be honest with you, the reason I came, I didn't feel like dealing with him. So it was easier for me just to drive, be tired for one day, go do my work, because it was my job. And I honestly, in all seriousness, joking aside, brainwashed, committed, neither of those. I felt that it was my job. That's what I did. I was getting paid to do a job. I wanted to be good, and so if this is what I'm asked to do, and I thought it was reasonable, then I'm going to do it. Now, I'll say this. As I got older, I'd have done what Jeff did for that first training camp. I'd have come when it was mandatory. I wouldn't have showed up 4 days early because that was ridiculous. Didn't do anything.
We had five preseason games.
It was 6 weeks. It was nonsense.
We were already there, going to be there early, awesome. Earlier than anybody else besides the team we were playing, which was Carolina Panthers.
But if you just put those type of hard stops or dates around those things, make the rest of it, the guys can do whatever they want.
That was the hottest year in the history of Stevens Point, Wisconsin, where cows were dying in the field all over the place.
Yeah, it was hotter there than here.
Let's come back.
And they did.
We're going Instagram.
The one good thing about that training camp up there was I did discover, two things.
I don't want
cheese curds and point beer.
Mm,
I think that's what it was called. Point beer. It's a Wisconsin beer.
Okay.
Pretty good.
Nothing wrong
cheese
with that.
Cheese curds. Eh, not bad.
Yeah, I'll take
fried
that.
Cheese.
Yes.
Very low fat.
Nothing wrong with that.
We'll come back right now. You're live.
We're also live on the Jaguars Periscope through Twitter tonight.
Oh, yeah.
So if you're on social media, you're watching us there. And we're about to be live on Tony Baselli's Instagram page that 111 people follow.
Yeah, so why would they go there when they can just go to Facebook?
Jaguars.
Or what's on Facebook?
Periscope on Twitter.
Periscope, you idiot.
Okay. So then why do we need to go to your
That's what I'm
account?
Saying. I don't know.
It's self-promotion.
Oh.
That's what we're doing tonight. We'll talk about Logs Outdoor Show when we come back. Check out Jack Hennigan's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. Get at least a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars.com, Jaguars Twitter, Tony's Instagram page, and Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
The countdown to Daly's Place opening night is 16 days. Brought to you by the Florida Restaurant and Lodging Association. And visit Florida. Play local, eat local, stay and play. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Buscelli has chosen to rejoin us after filling his cup of coffee and entertaining his scores of followers on social media. Oh, by the way, I got to remind you, Sticks and REO Speedwagon, Thursday, July 20th. Jethro Tull, Tuesday, November 7th. Tickets available for those shows right now at Daly's Place.
Trucks is sold out, though, isn't it?
I don't know. I think it's going well, I believe. That's the first show, Tedeschi Trucks Band.
Tedeschi Trucks.
May 27th. It'll be a good show. It's coming up. Let's go around the National Football League. We're going to start off. Can you get to the microphone and talk into it? It's a radio program.
First time I've ever done this.
Wrong with
D.D. Westbrook. We didn't talk about him much.
Well, we're going around the league now.
I know, but I want to talk about D.D. Westbrook.
We had 45 minutes of show. You could have jumped in there. You know, you're a co-host.
If you weren't busy self-promoting your Instagram live, we could have done that.
That was in the break. So D.D. Westbrook.
What about D.D. Westbrook? We'll get to around the league in just a moment.
Well, I just think it's interesting. The interesting thing to me about D.D. Westbrook is Tom Coughlin is what known as disciplinarian, tough, character.
Mm-hmm.
And in the first draft...
Yeah, but he did draft R.J. Sauer, too.
Well, he did. But in the first draft, I mean, you talk to the draft experts and people around, a lot of red flags with the off-the-field stuff with D.D. Westbrook. Now, well, I don't know.
Many said first-round talent.
Yeah, first-round talent gets drafted in the fourth round. I just thought it was interesting. You know, I believe in second chances. I think guys should get second chances. I don't know the kid's story. Jeff, I know you know more about it. I've read a little bit about it. I've never met him. I don't know if he's a good kid, bad kid, or whatever. He is super talented.
Mm-hmm.
He can fly. He's a punt returner. You know, he was, I think, top 10 in the Heisman voting this year.
He went to New York.
He was, yeah, top five. Yeah, I mean, he can play now. I just thought it was interesting. I'm not saying I was against it, but that Coach Coughlin picked him. Were you surprised?
They must have vetted it very well, obviously.
No, that's the one thing. I guarantee you Dave and Tom vetted him to the nth degree. Talked to people at Oklahoma, talk to the, you know, the authorities.
Blinn Community College, where he went before.
All the different things.
Sure.
And so, but if he can, you know, if he is a changed person and he has got his head on straight and makes good decisions, he can play.
There's no doubt.
He can play football now. Oh, and he's explosive.
Risk-reward is what it is.
Exactly,
I mean, you know,
right.
he's a first-round talent, supposedly. If he didn't have the issues, he probably would have been.
He's not the biggest guy.
Late first-round pick, early second at the latest. You know, so you're getting a talent at that level for a fourth-round pick.
Yeah, and the way it's built, right, the fourth round on, if they work out, that's really good for you, right? That's a nice you'd want them all to work out.
Great, and they have made it clear. So there you go. Although I didn't originally like the one comment that Dave made about, you know, people have made bad things like that or whatever. But anyway, they also in the same – Dave talked about in the same breath that there's zero tolerance with him. Which means if he makes a mistake, that tells me that they would not hesitate to let him go. So, you know, which is the way it has to be. You know, so and I don't know the details. I mean, I'm familiar with what had happened, but, you know, I don't know what is the truth or what's the inside story.
Now, he was very upfront at the combine, very honest, very transparent.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, he's willing to talk about any of it.
All right, let's go around the National Football. That was a good point.
Yeah.
Well done, Tony.
In like 30 seconds, is that what we got?
Yes, we do. Okay. We'll start off with Josh Gordon's reinstatement bid denied by the NFL. He can reapply again in the fall. About that.
No surprise. He's got
issues.
I'd
be shocked if he ever played again.
You know, I mean, him and Johnny Manziel can play in a different league.
Wow. Manziel,
huh? I have no idea.
Something. Vic Carucci, the Buffalo News, broke down the control of the Buffalo Bills.
The GM, Brandon Bean, will control
the 53-man roster, while Sean McDermott otherwise controls the entire football operation. And it sounds similar to Kansas City, where Dorsey has significant say, but Andy Reid's the man. What do you make of the Buffalo situation?
It's all semantics. Yep. It's all semantics because if they didn't give him control of the 53, quote-unquote, then he would not have been able to get the job in Buffalo because it wouldn't have been considered a promotion. To be a GM, you need to have control of the roster.
And here's the deal. Sean McDermott He handpicked them. That's his pick.
Yeah, they're working. They know each other.
They know each other. They're going to work together. It's not an issue. It's a non-story. Jeff's right. They did it for Samantha.
Well, it was good to have you back, Tony.
It was good to have back. I'm excited.
And I will make sure that I follow the JP Shadrick podcast, and I will make sure that I do not follow your Instagram account.
Right,
because
smart.
You know what? What you put on Instagram, I mean, it's a waste of time.
How do I get invited on the podcast?
Maybe you just did right there. Tony Vaselli, Jeff Lagerman, Hollywood, Max Hockman, Joe Fortunato, JP Shadrick.